Father, there's a lot of good memories, but then there's a lot of sad memories too. And we just pray, Lord, that you'd help us to remember the good and get through the bad. Father, we thank you so much for this morning. I pray now that you'll guide and direct everything that's said, and it'll be for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You know, with this being the old-fashioned Sunday, I wanted to bring an old-fashioned message. And I feel that we as born-again, blood-washed believers in the Lord Jesus Christ need to be looking towards heaven to see what's going to be ahead of us. And that's the title of this morning's message, is Looking Towards Heaven. You know, everything, believe it or not, right now is set for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything is ready for Him to come back at any time. You know, I feel there's some things, though, that we need to be looking towards heaven for, and I want to share some of them with you today. As I was thinking about what to preach today, I was going through some of my books, and I have whole volumes of messages preached by old preachers, Billy Sunday, Spurgeon, Jack Hiles, D.L. Moody, John R. Rice, you know, and just many, many, many old men of the faith. And I like going back from time to time just to read some of their messages to see what it was like in the days that they were living in compared to what it is today that we're living in. And you know, there is no new thing under the sun. Sin is still sin. And it's the same sin today as what it was back in the 1800s and the 1700s and everything else. And as I was thinking about this, I got to thinking about what should we be looking for in the coming days. And that's where this message came from. But we need to be looking to the heaven for God in God's creation. In Job's 35:5, it says, "Look unto the heavens, and see and behold the clouds which are higher than thou." You know, God told Job to look to the heavens to see how He created everything. God told Job, He says, "I want you to look in the heaven. I want you to see the clouds as they float across the sky. I want you to look at the stars and see how they're all fashioned in the sky. Look at the constellations and see how they're all done." Have you ever looked at a cloud in the sky? How many of you ever just stared at a cloud? I have. I like watching clouds. And, you know, if you don't believe what I'm going to tell you, ask Siri. Siri will tell you the same thing that I'm about to tell you. Do you know how much a cloud weighs? Okay. The average cloud weighs or has 1.1 million pounds of water in it. 1.1 million pounds of water. If you took that cloud and you squashed it down, that's how much water you would get out of that cloud. Now think about this for a minute. 1.1 million pounds floating across the sky. What keeps it up there? Oh yeah, air currents and this and that and everything. But think of it. 1.1 million pounds. That's an awful lot. And it floats across the sky so effortlessly. And yet we don't even think about that part of it. All of a sudden that cloud could just come crashing down on top of us. You know what I mean? But 1.1 million pounds of water is condensed into that cloud. And have you ever looked at a towering thunderhead and wondered how God ever keeps something that high in the air? You know, thunderheads will go up as high as 40,000 feet. How is it they just stay suspended in the sky and don't come crashing down to the ground? You know, we need to look at the heavens and see how God has control of all things. In Isaiah 40, verse 26, it says, "Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who has created these things? that bringeth out their host by number. He calls them by their name, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Think of it. Have you ever had a day that the sun didn't come up? I haven't. Have you ever had a day that it didn't set? I haven't. What continues to keep the earth in perfect rotation? What tips the earth in the fall and in the spring? What causes all this to happen? How is it that the earth is suspended in space and never moves out of its orbit? You know, it's an almighty God. We need to take a look at the heavens to see God's creation. Then we need to look at the heavens to pray. In Psalms chapter 5, verse 3, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. David, in his times of trouble, would lift up his eyes towards heaven, and he would pray for the things that he needed. Listen, we need to look up to heaven and pray once in a while. You know, oh yeah, we need to take and bow our heads. But you know what? We need to take and lift up our voices to heaven. We need to take and raise up our voices to an almighty God. You know, our God is a God of heaven. We need to look to Him as we pray. We need to lift up our holy hands and praise the Lord for all that He's done for us. You know, many today pray to idols who aren't alive. But I want you to know something. My God is alive. Did you know that? My God is alive and He hears my every prayer. You know, David said he prays three times a day. Daniel prayed three times a day. We should pray without ceasing. We should pray all the time. Psalms 123:1 says, unto Thee I lift up mine eyes, O Thou that dwellest in the heavens. We need to take and lift up our eyes towards heaven. And we need to raise our voices to a God that will hear us. Not only that, but we also need to look to heaven for the blessed hope. We need to look to heaven for the blessed hope. In Titus 2:13 it says, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We need to look for the blessed hope of eternal life. In Titus 1:2 it says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. You know, what a blessed thought. Guess what? My God doesn't lie. God has never lied. All of His promises are true. Everything that He said back in the days of Noah are true today. Everything that He said in the days of Abraham are true today. Everything He said in the days of Jacob are true today. Everything that He said in the days of David are true today. Everything that He said in the days of Hezekiah are true today. Everything that He said in the days of Paul are true today. My God never lies. When He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, guess what? He's not going to leave me, and He's not going to forsake me. He's going to always be there with me. He never lies. You know, we need to look towards heaven for eternal life. We need to look for heaven for this blessed hope God can give us through the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, man searches for many things in life. However, he never searches for the right thing. Do you know, I've never yet seen anybody beat the doors of this church down to find salvation. I never have. I've never seen the throngs of people come through the doors and ask to get saved. Why? Because people are not searching for eternal life. Oh, people will be searching out there for happiness. They'll be searching out there for entertainment. After all, this afternoon there will probably be 50,000 people thronging Phoenix Stadium, going to the football game or more. But how many of those 50,000 people darken the doors of a church? Probably not one. You know, listen, We need to realize that we need to be looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of Christ. We need to point all of those that we come in contact with who are searching for things that they don't know what they're looking for towards the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to point them to the blessed hope only God can give them. The fourth thing is this: we need to look to heaven to be saved. In Isaiah 45:22 it says, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else." That's putting it pretty point blank, isn't it? You know, how can a person get saved but by God? They can't. You know, there's only one way to heaven. Do you know that the way to heaven is the same today as what it was the day that Jesus Christ rose from the dead? Did you know that? The minute He rose from the dead, redemption was brought into the world. Everybody from that point on has the same opportunity to get to heaven the same way. And that's through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to understand we're sinners. We need to understand the penalty for the sin. We need to understand that Jesus paid our penalty. And we need to accept Him as Lord and Savior. Once that happens, guess what? We're a new creation in Christ. Once we're a new creation in Christ, we don't have to worry about where we're going to spend eternity. We don't have to worry about not being able to go to heaven. We don't have to worry about the things that would so easily beset us. The fifth thing is this: we need to look to heaven for His appearing. The rest of, in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28 says this: "So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation." You know, when Jesus went to heaven, the disciples were looking at Him leaving. Now that had to be a pretty cool sight, right? All of a sudden, here's Jesus, and there He goes. Full of helium, right? No. There He goes, raising to heaven. All of a sudden, there's an angel standing next to Him. That would be freaky. Now, there's 12 of them standing there watching, or 11 of them standing there watching this sight. All of a sudden, there's 12 of them. They're going, "Hey, who are you? Where'd you come from?" You know, all of a sudden, here's somebody there, and He says, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into heaven? The same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven." Listen. Here's these 12 or 11 guys standing there, and 12 of them now. And He goes, "Hey, what's wrong with you guys? What are you sitting here looking into heaven for? There's nothing there." You need to be busy about your Father's business because your time is short. He's saying, you know what? He says, the same Jesus that you saw is going to come again the same way. He's going to come back one day the same way as He left. You need to be busy about His business because your time is short. You know, I don't really believe until the day of Pentecost that the disciples really understood what the angel was saying to them. But once we've accepted Christ as our personal Savior, we need to be looking to heaven for His return. You know, what a blessed thought that one day He's going to return just like He left to receive us unto Himself. In Titus 2:13, the last part of that verse says, "The glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." Just think, one day the trumpet's going to sound, there's going to be a shout, come up hither, and boom, we're going to be gone. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we're going to be gone. Wow. We're going to be changed. We're going to know all things. You know, I can hardly wait to get to heaven. You know that, Brother Chuck? I can hardly wait to get to heaven. You know why? Because I'm going to be smart. I'm going to have all knowledge. I'm going to know the minute I get to heaven how God created everything. That's going to be pretty cool. I'm going to know why redemption was put in the way it was. You know, God did not have to have Jesus come and die on the cross. There could have been another way. But He chose to do it that way. We need to realize that when we get to heaven, we're going to know all that. We're going to know everybody that's there. I'm going to know Brother Mike's wife. I've never seen her before. He's going to know my mom and dad. You know, I'm anxious to see our little girl. I'm anxious to see those that have went on before me. You're all going to know them. The minute we get to heaven, you're going to say, hey, I know you. You're Pastor Storm's mom and dad, yeah. Listen, I'll tell you what. We need to be looking to heaven for the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior. Because one day He's coming back. If we don't die before then, we're going to see Him in the clouds coming for us. And I'll tell you what, that day is not just too awful far away. I believe that grand day is just around the corner. You know, when I grew up, and I can remember old-time evangelists standing up here, beating on pulpits, yelling and screaming, hollering back in the 1950s that the end was going to come very soon. That was in the 50s. How much closer are we to it today? 60 years later. I mean, listen, back in the 1950s, as I look back there, Christ could not come back then. But today, He could because of technology. Go in the book of Revelation, you look at the two witnesses. The two witnesses, it says in there that every eye shall see them. Back in the 1950s, it was impossible. You know, I always wondered about that when these evangelists used to preach on that in the book of Revelation about the two witnesses. I'm going, how is everybody going to see them at the same time? And they were going, it's television, it's television, it's television. Well, back then we only had three channels. And it was all in black and white. And sometimes it was so snowy you couldn't see it. You know, that's what we used to do. We would sit in front of it and Dad would say, what are you looking at? We're looking at that polar bear in the snowstorm. You know what I mean? You young kids have no idea what I'm talking about, believe me. But you know, back then it couldn't have happened. But today, it can. Oops, I don't know what happened to my phone. Anyway, because of smart technology. Think about it. All of a sudden, you can get an alert on your phone, and boom, there it is. Every eye right now could see that happen. Every eye in the world could see that happen. The 1950s, it couldn't. Listen, folks. We need to be looking for the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We need to be looking up. Because I'll tell you what, the day is getting shorter and shorter and shorter. We need to be looking for God, we need to be looking to heaven for God's creation. We need to be looking to heaven to pray. We need to look to heaven for the blessed hope. We need to look to heaven to be saved. And we need to look to heaven for His glorious appearing. If we look to heaven, I guarantee that we're going to be looking the right way. Because one day He's going to return. And the shout, the last trump, we're going to be gone. Wow, what a glorious day that's going to be. What a glorious day when my Jesus I shall see, when I shall look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand and leads me into the promised land, what a day, glorious day, that will be. Let's pray. Father, thank You.